Thanks for hitting play again on this episode. If you're loving what we're doing here on the Professional Photographer Podcast, you're just scratching the surface of what PPA has to offer. As a PPA member, you'll get access to benefits that support and protect your business, like equipment insurance, sales and marketing tools, discounts on industry essentials, and even a 24/7 affordable telemedicine program. What? Need help with contracts and copyright protection? We got you. And customizable resources and tools are waiting for you. And that's not all. Members also enjoy Professional Photographer Magazine, delivered monthly, packed with stunning visuals, inspiring stories, and practical tips to keep you growing. Explore all the perks of membership at PPA.com. That's PPA.com. I mean, it's only three letters. You can remember that, right? PPA.com. We want you to join our community. We are here to help you grow and thrive. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Pat Miller, and this is the Professional Photographer Podcast. You love taking headshots, and you know there's a bunch of gold in these large companies that bring you in to do a big headshot day. Take pictures of all of our people, 20 people, 30 people, 60, 70, 90 people in a shoot. It's a really great piece of business, and you want to know how to do it better. Well, good news. Glennis Thomas is our guest today, and she's been doing it for a while, and she's going to share her secrets from setup to client communication, the bedside manner with a client, how to make them feel comfortable so you get something good for them, what the goal is, and I love her perspective on this. The goal of the shoot is to help your contact look good. She'll talk all about that. She'll go through after the shoot communication. She basically lays it all out. And if that's not enough, we're even tagging her class in the show notes if you want to learn even more. Large corporate headshot days. How to do them well. Glennis Thomas standing by. We'll talk to her next. Glennis, welcome to the Professional Photographer Podcast. Great to see you. How are you today?
Thank you. Great to see you, Pat. I'm doing excellent. It's a beautiful spring day, so just happy to see sunshine.
Oh, sunshine. I've heard about sunshine. It's cloudy here in Milwaukee all the time, but we'll get sunshine for about 3 hours in July, so I'm looking forward to it. It'll be great. If someone hasn't met you yet, tell us who you are and what you do.
Sure. My name, again, is Glennis, and I am a professional photographer, and I specialize in corporate headshots. The bulk of my work is I go on location to offices, and I'll photograph either an executive team or the entire team. So I'm doing about 5 to 100 people at a time, and that's probably 95% of my work. The rest of it, I'm just doing individuals.
That's a branch of work that a lot of people want to get into. And today we get to go behind the scenes on those big corporate jobs. But before we get into the details and the what to do and what not to do, what's the hardest thing about doing work like this? Is it the amount of time you have to spend? Is it dealing with the clients? Is it the business management of the whole thing? What makes this tough?
I would say I've been doing this for 7 years now, so I have systems down, and systems are king. You have to have systems. But for me now, it's when I'm hitting my busy season and I have maybe 4 or 5 jobs a week, which is really stretching myself. And it's being able to stay on top of everything and stay organized and not confuse my jobs. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that I'm saying the right client brand name, the right name when I show up. I have the right lighting diagram when I show up, because it can get really hectic. So making sure that I'm clear about each of the jobs that are just back to back to back, and I am able to make the appropriate amount of time after the fact for follow-ups, for retouching and closing out of a job. I don't schedule specific days that I photograph, like I know some photographers do, but I want to be available to when my customers need me. And a lot of times these are a quarterly meeting or an annual meeting, and I just need to be available. So I can't do that pre-planning to make sure that I'm building enough of the back end. So I'm planning that on the go and just trying to make sure I don't drop any balls when it gets really busy.
Now, this is kind of a side quest kind of question, but you brought up something that made me go, wow, I wonder how she handles that. So your biggest client says, we're doing a corporate board meeting and we want you there on Sunday. Thinking about boundaries and lifestyle, do you just make it happen and charge them an inconvenience fee? Or is that just part of the job? Like, how do you handle those personal boundaries with the demands of some of these large clients?
Well, I should clarify, as a corporate headshot photographer, I don't work weekends.
Ah.
And it is extremely rare for a client to even want a weekend. I think that happened once last year, and maybe it was even a studio. It wasn't even to come on location. And I said, absolutely, I charge 1.5 times for weekend shoots. And they said, yep, no problem. So it's not really something I need to worry about. And it's one of the things I love, mm-hmm. that I can then be home. You know, my kids are in college now, but before, I could be home when they're home. I could be home when my husband's home. I have no interest in working weekends. And that's part of the reason why I went down this path.
Yeah, that's great benefit for sure. Well, let's set up a specific job that we get to reference throughout the entire interview, because if someone has a frame of reference of who you're going to be referring to, I think it will be easier to follow all the good stuff you're going to share. So for this example and this interview, let's set up a corporate job. Where are we going and how many people are you going to take pictures of?
Sure. So I just did one recently. It was for probably a mid-sized construction firm, and they wanted to level up all of their headshots. These sorts of service-based companies need headshots, not necessarily to put on their website, although a lot of times that they do, but mostly to put into proposals. So they send out proposals to bid on jobs, and they want a great looking team, and they want to be able to switch in and out whoever's going to be on that team for each of those specific pages of their proposal. So this particular company contacted me. They have two offices in California, one in Northern and one in Southern California. And they had me go, I photographed over 2 days, and two in Northern and two in Southern. I did about 35 headshots in Northern California. And then I spent a half day doing what they like to call in their industry marketing stock images. So they're custom stock images. I go around their offices, primarily taking pictures of people interacting with each other. These aren't used in proposals. They're used for company culture and recruiting purposes. And then also just when they have company internal newsletters, each of the offices kind of get to know each other. And then I also went down to Southern California for 2 more days and did the same exact thing. And I photographed 93 people there.
Wow.
And then also did the marketing images for them. It was a blast. It was definitely busy.
That sounds great. And we get to go behind the scenes on that job. So that's our frame of reference for today. Let's begin where it begins. This job has an inquiry. How do you schedule it? How do you actually pick the days in working with them?
Well, first of all, it's usually an email inquiry that I get from them. And then they'll give me enough information that I can provide them a quote. So I'll spend a good amount of time making sure that I have a thorough quote to send back that addresses the questions that they have, as well as anything that I think that they need to know. And if they've already put out some dates, great. Or if it's a bit open, then I might wait till the next stage. In this instance, they asked for a proposal back, and then they came back and said, we'd like to do a video chat with you. So I then got on a video chat a few days later with, about 3 different people from various offices. They also have, I think a fractional CMO who is on the East Coast. So they were able to make sure I'm a real person. that's a concern. They need to do their due diligence. They need to get, you know, a vibe of, does this person know what they're doing? Does she look like someone that they could work with? And so, you got to be on your game. Mm-hmm. For that, and it's not, I think a lot of people get really nervous about how do I act in that instance. It's a relaxed professionalism. So you want to have everything buttoned up, but you have to be relaxed and confident. And then I think that being relaxed is sort of that secret ingredient of people going, okay, this person knows what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Because if you're just like super robotic or whatever, and you're going through it, I think that's going to throw up all sorts of red flags. You have to be able to throw in a little bit of humor. Being relaxed shows confidence.
And makes them feel confident.
Exactly.
What are some of the common questions in that stage? Things that they're curious about? Hey, would you do this? Or we definitely don't want that. What are some of the things that come up over and over?
So they usually have a corporate brand already put together, or a lot of times they're in the middle of rebranding. And it is rare that a customer is like, I have no idea what we want. Usually what I will say is I have lots of different options, but the easiest to replicate with over time, and what goes with most skin tones, is a medium gray. And I would say 90% of my customers are like, yeah, I want that. So it's not a long conversation. And in the past, I would try to come up with all these different ideas, and I'd send them all and go back and forth. We could do this, we could do that. And they were like, I don't know. So I think it just, you know, they're just quite happy that if I say, hey, this goes with most skin tones, and this goes with your brand, I've already looked at your brand, then they're just like, yeah, we'll just go do that. So that's a pretty easy conversation, I think. At that point, they already know my pricing. I keep my pricing on my website. That just reduces the amount of calls that I don't want to get. I want people to kind of go already self-select. And then they might want to know. I think most of these people have never hired a headshot photographer for a big shoot. And so they don't know what to ask, but they're going to be concerned next about my availability. Does it match up with when they want to do it? So we could go back and forth. Usually I do that over email, because if they have give me any parameters or no parameters, I'll go through my calendar and I'll give them maybe 5 different dates and times for them to select from. And I say, if you need me to give you more, I'll do that. And you know, a lot of times they select a date and then that changes again, because it's like herding cats on their end. We're trying to get 100 people to all be available is very difficult. And I have a lot of empathy for them in that role.
That's kind of like playing 3D chess in a way. The person that's hiring you is most likely reporting to someone, and you want to make them look good by giving them solutions and making sure that you're going to deliver on what they need. So that decision maker feels good about their decision. You're almost helping them manage up. Is that a way to think about it?
That's a really excellent point. That's a lot. So I used to, good job. I used to be a marketing executive, so it's been a long time, but I probably understand the position they're in than most photographers. I understand they are managing up. I understand that this is a big deal. This is an opportunity. And so I will sort of coach them and give them some ideas. I might say, once we're further down the line and we're booked and we're getting closer, I might say, I'm going to mention to some of your people, but you know, if there's a way that you can weave it in, this is a great opportunity for you to show this as a reward to your employees. So it's a gift the company's giving. If they came to me for an individual headshot, it is not cheap. So this is a big deal that the company's doing this. You know, it's a way to say you value their career trajectory. So if that marketing person, customer retention and company culture is part of their job description, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't, they're going to be very interested and grateful for that. The other thing is that a lot of times they're in multiple offices. And so this is a unique opportunity for that marketing manager to meet everybody who's coming in, flying in, driving in. The people, you know, there's so much hybrid and people out at different job sites. So I suggest, you know, you might want to be there. I don't have to have you there, but I have no problems if you want to be. But this is a great opportunity for you to be able to shake the hands of everybody and get yourself known, because the bigger the company, my experience is, your value is based on who you know within the company.
Mm.
So knowing a lot of people is important for your own career. And then secondly, because I am photographing the executive board, I am photographing their peers, and I am photographing maybe those brand new to the company, what I do reflects on them. And so I want to make sure that I am making everybody really happy, given a great experience. And I have had people come back to me and say, I have never had this many compliments from a vendor before. And I have seen people, I don't know if what I did related to it, but I would like to think that it had something to do with it. If they got promoted several months later, you know, it's a big deal to up your brand and to put in more assets and to spend the money that they don't normally have in their annual budgets. This is a big deal for them.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can tick all those boxes and make it all happen with ease for them and not give them a lot of work, I'm golden. They're my customer. So at least for them, you know, I've been doing this for only 7 years, but so far I haven't lost a customer. I get repeat because my job isn't necessarily to provide them the best looking headshots ever. It is to provide a turnkey, easy solution that makes my point person who hired me look great.
Getting them promoted. We like to call that the Glynis effect around here.
Yeah.
Look it up, glyniseffect.com. It's what happens when you hire her. It's just, it comes with the territory. I want to get on to what happens the day of the shoot and some other big goals around one of these sessions. But I am really curious. You're herding over 100 cats. People get sick. People are on vacation. You mentioned hybrid employees. If you show up for 2 days in Northern and 1 day in Southern, what if someone's not around? How do you handle that?
It happens every single time. I have to say, this last one, when I was down in Southern California, that marketing manager was so on top of it, and she got 100% participation. And I said, you are the first that's ever done that. There's always somebody who's going to call in sick on the day, or, you know, got rushed into an emergency meeting, whatever. But what I do in advance of that is, if we have a large amount of people, I offer that I set up a scheduling calendar for them, so I can give them a URL that's got tips on how to prepare and then a link to a calendar. And then everyone can choose their time slots. And then I give them updates of who has signed up as it gets closer, so they know who to go and bug. And then they know what is on the plate. And then even at the last minute, I mean, there's going to be people who don't come in order. There's going to be people who come in late. There's going to be people who just don't show up. That's all fine. Like, I can handle it. I don't care what order they come in. This schedule is really just for them to make sure that people have committed. I use a software program called Headshot Tools that has completely changed my life in this. So it doesn't matter what order they come in. I can just look their name up and double click it, and I'm off to the races. So, So getting all that, and then inevitably people can't show up, and inevitably there's going to be new hires. So I have my studio available for those people, because it's less expensive for them to send them over to my studio than for me to come on location. I have certain customers that bring me back every spring and every fall. And so they just wait till they get enough people. I usually say 5 or more people, and then I go back. But the rest of them that just have, you know, one-offs here and there, or they have a brand new executive that started and they can't wait, you know, they've got press releases going out and so forth. They just send them over to my studio. I have a special webpage just for them. And we get it done, and I make it look like the same as everybody else's, and everybody's happy.
Love it. Let's talk about what happens the actual day of the shoot, because we're going behind the scenes. So are you rolling up with a team full of people, or are you setting it all up by yourself?
I used to bring a team if I had, let's say, 100 people, but I can do it all on my own now, you know, unless they want a hair and makeup artist, which is rare for me. It does happen, but it's not often. So between the different software programs I use and my kit, I if it's local, I just load all of everything in the car, and then I've got one of those foldable wagons, and then I just bring everybody and everything in one trip. And I can, I like to say I'm setting up my house. I don't tell too many people that, but I sort of feel like once you get like, I've got my camera on a tripod in the front, I'll have an eye lighter or reflector down below them. I might have another reflector up to the side of them. And then I might have lights on the background, or I might have rim lights, strip lights on the sides of them. And then I have my backdrop in the front. So it kind of becomes sort of this square or rectangle. And I sort of feel like I'm setting up house in their house. So yeah. I get that all set up. And then, and for some people, it's really intimidating. And some people, it's like fascinating or whatever. But it's clear where they need to stand. I make that clear. And we just chat. And gosh, you know, when I first started doing this, I was only doing individuals, and I would probably spend 2.5 hours with one person. And I thought I could never do 5 minutes or 3 minutes with a person. And if I could, I would hate it. And now that I've done it, I'm like, I don't want to spend any more than 5 minutes with somebody. We have a great time in those 5 minutes. But it's, you know, some people will say they're so amazed that I can make this big, huge setup in their place from that one wagon. And I think I told someone it's kind of like camping gear. You know, the more expensive it is, the tighter it packs up. So you can get some really great gear, you know, put into a single wagon, and it just makes a whole entire house when you arrive.
We need to have a for real talk about those fold up wagons, though, because they are magic. The coolest things? Like, you can fit a whole clown car into one of those things.
Oh, yeah, totally. I've had mine. I mean, I bought it ages ago. It's got to be 20 years old now. And it's a tank. It works great.
Yeah, those are the real MVP. How long does it take to set up your house? Is that 10 minutes, an hour? How long?
I ask for an hour to set up. I usually try to come in. I say I arrive an hour earlier. I usually come a little bit more than that because sometimes the space that they decided for me isn't the best. I want to make sure that that's all decided. Mm-hmm. And I take an hour to set up. I spend about a half an hour getting all the equipment up. And then I spend a half an hour getting all the electronics set up and then go through my test shots. And then that allows me enough time that I would probably be done 45 minutes early. So it's 45 minutes, I guess, because I've learned that there are always people that once they see everything set up, they think you're ready to go and they want to get it done and out of the way. So people will start rushing over 20, 15 minutes early, say, can you take me? Can you take me now? So it is important to be set up earlier. Otherwise, then you're panicked and you're rushing. So, you know, and then your test shots, you know, if I'm not, you know, thoroughly done my test shots, then I'm fiddling throughout the shoot. And I shouldn't be fiddling. I need to dial that in before I really start going.
One more thing on setup. Do you recommend that people, I don't want to say splurge, but not skimp on that gear, the lighter, the more compact, the easier to fold? Sometimes that is a little bit more expensive, but when you're trucking it around 20 or 50 times a year, that makes a difference, doesn't it?
Oh, I see your point. Yeah. You want gear that's going to last, but, you know, I have some of my stuff's expensive. Some of it's not so expensive. I have to say, I don't think anything's really broken. I am cognizant of not throwing stuff around and making sure I pack it. You know, I don't put my umbrellas down on the bottom. Umbrellas always go on top because those are pretty delicate. I even got, like, I went to Staples, an office supply store, and I got those big, long tubes, cardboard tubes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'll stick my umbrellas in there just to give it, because I have had them get crushed. And so it just provides a little bit extra protection. But, you know, if money was no object and I could buy a whole new kit, oh yeah, I'd be buying, you know, much more compact stuff. But I have to say the general stuff you get right now is pretty compact. I do, like, for my backdrop, you know, I love paper. Paper is the best. But paper is a big pain to take on location, and I always end up ruining my paper roll. And if I, you know, and it's heavy. So, and then the stands to get it up are heavier. So sure. I finally just, Decided to go with the Westcott X-Drop. And that thing is so tiny and light and little, I can fly with it. And if I just keep it further enough away from the background, I don't have to worry about wrinkles or the texture.
Sure.
And even that, you know, most of these company headshots, you know, I need the background to be consistent. And before, I would just sort of eyeball it in between shoots. And they, if you put them side by side, they weren't ever quite exactly the same. So now I just replace the backgrounds. So it doesn't even matter if there's wrinkles and texture on the backdrop. Now I just put the backdrop really close. And then it just doesn't matter because I'm going to replace it.
All right. We've got the client. You're ready to go. They walk up to the set. What does that interaction look like from walking up to walking away? Walk us through it.
Sure. So, and you repeat this over and over and over again. But it's basically, I see somebody come in. It's a big smile and a welcome because they might be hovering on the outside. This is not what they want to do.
No.
And so I'm like, come on in. And then they come on in and I'll guide them to where they're going to go and stand. And then I'll just, you know, I'm just being bubbly and positive and happy. And I'll ask them what their name is. I have to look it on my list because I need to double click it on my software before I start shooting. And I'll, the software headshot tools, if you use it and you double click their name, then every shot I take after that automatically renames the files with their first and last name. So it's a really important step.
Cool.
But that gives me a chance to be able to ask their name, you know, they get, and I said, just relax. I'm just going to do some test shots. So then they, they get used to the lights a little bit. And then I just have three different poses I walk them through. It's really simple. And I just start it and I'll say, and give me a big smile. And that's a key point right there. I'm going to find out, does this person have no problem smiling, or am I going to do a lot more coaching with this person? So if they can smile, I'm like, oh, I don't have to worry about you. That's awesome. What a smile. That went straight to my heart. And that just gets them to smile more and more. I walk them through the things. And then I might reiterate a next step as I just, you know, send them on out. And there is a little bit of a workflow you want to keep in mind. So I might look, hey, everyone's going to come in this way,
yep.
Stand there in front. And then I want everyone to exit this way just so we can keep things moving. People aren't bumping into each other. And there is a lot of equipment around there. So it's a little bit of a maze. So I might, you know, have a workflow where I'm directing them through. Did that answer your question? Did I miss anything? Okay.
No, that's awesome. When someone walks up and they think, oh, great, the dentist is here. I really don't want to do this. You mentioned complimenting their smile and joking with them a little bit. But when you have one of those really hard cases of people that really don't want to be there, do you ever just put your camera down and have a conversation with them? I mean, how do you warm them up to get the confidence to be themselves in front of the camera when you know they don't want to be?
Right. Well, first of all, because it is such an assembly line, you know, I don't really have I don't have much of a luxury to do what I would do with like an individual coming to my studio. But so part of it is just making it as fast as possible. But I have lots of little different things that I say just to make them laugh. Like I will just call it out and I'll say, show me how much you want to be here. you know.
That's
I've got
great.
Lots of different things, and I'll say, whose bright idea was it for you guys to all get headshots? Who do you need me to go rough up right now? You know, and they'll laugh. And some people, you know, and I'll have silly things like, you know, no one else in the room. I go, show me how much you love your company. And, you know, and that usually gets people to laugh. And we all kind of do that knowing thing. But I'll get people go, no, I love this company. And I'm like, all right, okay. All right. There's no recordings going on in here. You know, I'm just teasing. I'm keeping it light.
Yeah.
There is always going to be, the more people there are, the larger the possibility that you're going to get somebody who is just so freaked out. They, you know, they can't keep their eyes open with the lights. They're so nervous. And so I will spend some time. I've realized that if I go and do a shoot in a big area, where it's opened, I need to turn my set around so that they're not facing the other people. Because some people love that, you know, and some people like that's just awful. So I try to be cognizant of that. You know, and if it, and of course, if somebody's really struggling, I'm going to go right up to them. I'm going to talk to them closely, and I'm going to tell them how much I hate having my picture taken too, and I feel for them. And you know, we're just going to get this through. And then I also have some retouching things to kind of help, because you know, if you just can't get it all the way there. I have, to say, a lot of my fabulous, wonderful men that I work with will blush. I get it all the way up the neck and in the ears.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's that blushing. And you have no idea during the shoot that this is going on, but I get home and then I see all the redness. And so I have special brushes that I can do to brush out that redness. If I didn't exactly get the full smile, there's a little bit of liquify or something that I can do in there just to bump that last little bit that didn't quite get there. In dire situations, not dire, it's just because I love to retouch way too much. But if I'm like, you know, that's the best smile, but their eyes are closed, I might do a little, you know, I shouldn't be retouching too much. But I do tell people I retouch with love. So I've got their back. And if there's anything I can do to give them their best, I'm going to do that for them.
So from the time they walk up to the time they walk away is how many minutes, do you think?
If it's a group of, let's say, 20 or less people, I will have 10-minute time slots. And if it's more, I'm doing probably 5-minute time slots. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, that's even more than what we need. It depends on the individual. There's a lot of people who are just like, I don't care. And then they're just like, you got it. And then they're just going to go on. And if I think, you know, at that point, I'm thinking, do I have what the company needs? So I'm not going to let them leave until I have something that the company's going to want. But those people are done in a minute. They come up there, they hit the smile. They know if I cooperate, I get out of here faster.
Yeah.
And then there's other people who, you know, some people might say they're the difficult ones, but I'm like, they're the ones who really care. Like, they understand the value of this and they want this to be a great shot. And I might say, hey, you know, as they're walking out, you want to take a quick peek. So if it's a really fast thing, I don't have time for that. But if I'm doing, let's say, 20 or fewer people and they have the 10-minute time slots, I will have them come over and I'll say, let me show you what I've got. And I said, I'm showing this to you because I'm going to be emailing these to you in your own private online gallery, but I want to make sure there's something you're going to choose. So I'm going to go through these really fast. And what I want you to tell me is, are there some good choices in there for you? Or do you want to go back and want to try some more? And so we'll just spend like 30 seconds doing that. And then they'll either like, they're so freaked out, they don't want to do this. They're like, yep, I'll totally pick something in there. Or there's going to be people like, okay, I really like that angle on me, but I want to do some more of those. Perfect. Let's go back and do that. So as much as I can help them in that short amount of time, I'm going to do that. Yeah. And if there is somebody that's really struggling, I will certainly let my point person know.
Yeah.
And usually I hear, I'm not surprised. So there's just some personalities that are just not going to be happy. But as long as the vast majority of people are happy, then my point person knows that I've done a good job for them.
Shoot is over. You're back at the studio with all the files. You mentioned how you might take some of the red out of people's necks and that kind of thing. But do you have a preset series of just light edits that you go through? What's the process before anybody sees them?
Sure. Actually, no. I will just send raw unedited out for the proofing galleries. It would probably be better if I did. And I know that there's a way to do that. So once I get that next opportunity, I'm going to set that up. But for the most part, it's been fine. And so I will send out unretouched images to the proofing galleries. They choose. Then, when I get home, I'm going to back up all my images. I will do a backup while I'm there before I leave. And then when I get home, I do another backup. And then that just sits there until the day that their choices are due. So once I have their choices, I can pull those, cut and paste them into Lightroom. That'll pull them all up. I'll flag those. And that I know is my base. Then I've started using Avoto since last year. And I do have presets. that'll have a whole bunch of sliders and individual things. So I'll have my basic men and my basic women, or just my basic overall for both men and women. And then I have certain clients, I have specific presets for them. And that includes a background change, but the level of edits. I have certain clients who want less edits, and I have other clients who want every single edit possible. So I try to keep everyone to my basic line, but I do have specific clients that are going to have something specific that they want. And so I'm going to make sure that that's already preset, and I just need to run the preset. And that gets me 80% there. And then I'll go through each of those individually. And if I need to do any tweaks on individuals, I'll do those. Then I export them and I load them back into their galleries. And then I just send a mass email to everyone saying they're up in the galleries. If it's a smaller a job, like 20 or fewer people, then I will give them the opportunity to give me feedback on the edits.
Mm.
Before I send it officially to the company. And some people hugely appreciate that. And yeah. Then other, if it's a bigger job or if it's a company that doesn't want people involved in that, then I don't have to go through that process.
Those presets might not seem like a big deal inside the industry, but to someone that's outside the industry, you mean you can give me all of these images formatted and shaped exactly the size that I need them and I don't have to do it? That's a godsend. On your end, it's click, click, and they're output that way. But for a civilian, that's a lot of hard, like tedious work that you're saving for them.
Yes. And I do sometimes remember to let my client know in advance, like, are there any... I usually just will give an 8x10 horizontal crop. And so I'll say, is there any other crops that you want? And I'm going to be naming them by last name, first name for your convenience. So when it goes into your marketing repository, it's easy for you to find these. Is there anything else you need in that file name, like the office that they're in or, you know, what? So I'm constantly trying to look for more ways to make my client's job easier. And, you know, I have some ongoing big clients that they have certain metadata that they need in those files, and they need multiple kinds of crops. So I do try to, most of the people don't need that, but there are certain customers that do. So I'm trying to get that all done so that because usually it's on that marketing person to do, or they might send it to a graphic person if they don't themselves do it. But I'm just trying to get that off their plate. And they're like, I had a customer one time, I took him out to lunch and I said, you know, you've been giving me more and more business. I'm surprised you fly me down to Southern California now. You know, why didn't you continue using the other photographer? And I thought they were going to tell me because my work has just so amazing, because I'd been working really hard to up my game.
Yeah.
And no, that's not what they said. They said, you're the easiest photographer we've ever worked with. That was it.
Makes all the difference. Okay, so the shoot is over. Now it's time to follow up. They've got all of their files. Is that the end of it? Or are you staying in consistent like conversation and communication with them? What do you do after the shoot?
So after everything's delivered, I should do more. If it's not clear that we're done, I always try to make sure there's a clear ending, and every email's a thank you, especially at the end. But there's not an email that doesn't go out that doesn't say thank you in there. But, you know, in on my CRM, I'm making sure, did I get my payment, which I should have, because I asked for full payment before I send the final images. But I'm double checking that. I'm double checking that everything was backed up and they got everything they needed. There weren't any more outstanding questions. And so I'll say my final email and I'll say, it's just been a pleasure. Absolutely love this project. You have such a great team. Here is my link. If you get any new hires or anybody who missed the shoot, here's where they can sign up for a time slot. And then I charge you later directly. So it's not my public facing for individuals where they have to pay in advance. Mm-hmm. And And so they know they've got that going forward. I used to do a monthly email that then turned into a quarterly email. And now it's an annual email newsletter. Because, you know, your business of one, it gets really busy. But I do an annual email in right before the fall season, which hits, which is my busiest season. And so everyone will get, you know, that. So anyone I've ever worked with, they're going to get that. But mostly how I stay top of mind is through LinkedIn, because I've ended up focusing on people who are companies that are active on LinkedIn. And, because they're marketing managers, their job is to be active on LinkedIn too. Not every type of business does that or has people who need to do that. So because they're posting several times a week on behalf of their company, for them personally, I know they're there. So I make sure I'm posting 3 times a week about, and they see my work. I for me, it's like the best way to keep in touch. It's not a formal email mm-hmm. newsletter that they're just going to delete or scan through. It's like they're seeing this snapshot of who I've been working with, and that's always interesting. And what kind of work I've done for them. And I tend to specialize in particular in industries. So I'm niching down here, and everybody knows everybody else. So everyone wants to see what their competitors are doing, and the marketing person that their competitor is probably a friend of theirs. And so they want to know what I'm doing in terms of their competitors, and they want to know what I'm doing in terms of their friends. Mm-hmm. And so I get a lot of referrals back and forth that way. But also, you know, when I go and do repeat work, there's usually a comment of like, wow, you're like super busy, or wow, you're so popular in our industry. You're like the photographer for our industry. And that reflects really well on me because, yeah. You know, and some of these companies are like mid-size, and they say work for the big companies. They love being associated with me. Oh, you're mm-hmm. also the photographer that does this company. We want to be like them. So it is really important for my brand success that I am seen often and with people that other people know.
Yeah. We are almost out of time, but you said something that I want to follow back up on. You said that they get their images when they pay, because so many corporate clients will be 30, 60, 90, 120-day notoriously slow payments. How do you square the marketing needs with what the CFO is going to do when it's time to send your check?
So I never knew that. So I didn't have that understanding going into it. And through all the mentors that I've learned through, I was always told that you ask for payment up front. You either ask for 50% up front and then 50% on the day, or you ask for 100% up front. And so that's just what I've done. There are some clients that are repeat clients that I will just get lax with, just because we've worked a lot together. I know I'm going to get it. But sometimes they get a little too lax. So I'm like, I got to rein them back in because 2 months is not acceptable. Yeah. There are a few clients. There's like a magazine. When I work with the magazine, they're like, we don't pay you till like 90 days later. So that's just the deal. Mm-hmm. Yes. Usually what I mostly care about is that in order for them to secure that session, and I'm not going to give that day to anybody else, you have to pay 50% up front. Yep. And so you either need to rush that check, use your personal credit card. Sometimes they have to do, they can't, you know, their corporate credit card's got a problem. They got to do that, and they will figure that out. And then I try, and for most of my customers, it's like, after the shoot, I will then say, I've retouched everything and I still haven't received payment. I will send these to you as soon as I get that payment. And then that's enough for them to kind of go, okay, we got to scramble or whatever. There's always going to be the outliers, but for the most part, it's not a problem. And I think that it doesn't seem to be a problem with the client either.
There's a class on how we can go even deeper. You've been so helpful today, but tell us about the class you've made.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, there's a couple. There's actually one. If you go to headshottools.com, they have an archive of free classes. And so I did one where I go in depth on LinkedIn. But I did present at Imaging USA, and I have that one for sale that you can purchase, where I'm going to go a lot more in depth into this, as well as how I market to be having 70 to 80 jobs a year of that. And should I just state the URL?
Yeah, go ahead, share it.
So it's my name, my website, it's Glennis Thomas, it's GlennisThomas, and then Thomas.com, and then it's slash, what is that called, a backward slash?
Yeah.
2025-IUSA-video. And all the information's there, and you can purchase that and have that and hopefully learn a whole lot. I poured in everything that I could think of and all my secrets. So there you go.
All the secrets, including the tubes from Staples. That was the secret of the day. That was a winner. We will also, of course, put that link in the show notes so that way you can find it real easily. Glennis, thank you so much for coming on the Professional Photographer Podcast. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an honor.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Professional Photographer Podcast. Before you go, can you do us a favor? Leave us a comment. We love likes and we love subscriptions, so do both of those things. But we do love the comments, because the comments will let us know, what did you enjoy about this week's episode? What did Glennis say that's going to make you money? Or what did she say that made you reconsider how you do large corporate headshots? Leave us those comments, because it helps us build a better show. And if you want to build a better studio, you should join Professional Photographers of America. If you're not yet a member, you're missing out on what PPA offers. We're talking incredible resources like equipment insurance, top-notch education, and a supportive community of photographers ready to help you succeed. It's perfect for photographers who are serious about growing their business in a sustainable and profitable way. At PPA, you belong here. Discover more about membership at PPA.com. That's PPA.com. I'm Pat Miller, founder of the Small Business Owners Community and the Small Business Summary Newsletter. Thanks for joining us on this journey, and we will see you right back here with the Professional Photographer Podcast real soon. Take care.